Today is Monday, July 6th. Good afternoon for WRCO News. Sitting in for Todd Coppernall, I'm Tim Thede. The town of Rockbridge garbage and recyclables did not get picked up due to flooding. Both garbage and recyclables will be picked up on Thursday, July 9th. Residents of the village of Muscadet should be advised that Muscadet Utilities will be conducting its annual hydrant flushing program tomorrow. This work is scheduled to take place through the entire village from tomorrow through Thursday. Crews will begin their operations early in the morning each day to complete the necessary maintenance efficiently. Hydrant flushing is a critical annual maintenance task mandated by the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources to ensure the village's water system remains in top condition. This process allows utility workers to verify that each hydrant is fully operational and capable of providing adequate flow for fire protection. Furthermore, flushing helps to remove mineral deposits that naturally accumulate inside the water distribution pipes over time and circulates any pocketed water or air to maintain high water quality throughout the system. While this maintenance is necessary, it can result in some temporary inconveniences for local residents. The flushing, draining, and refilling activity may cause a temporary decrease in water pressure and short-term discoloration in the water supply. Residents are also cautioned that these activities may affect the performance of automatic flushing units and other pressure-sensitive equipment within their homes or businesses. Muscadet Utilities appreciates the community's patience and cooperation while these essential safety and maintenance checks are performed. The Iowa County Sheriff's Department was kept busy over the weekend. On Sunday at 12:15, in the afternoon, the Iowa County Communications Center received a call regarding a gas leak in the 5100 block of County Road HH in the town of Brigham. The Barneveld Fire Department and Barneveld EMS responded to the scene. No injuries were reported. Then at 3:07 p.m., the Iowa County Communications Center received a call regarding a traffic complaint on U.S. Highway 18-151 in the area of mile marker 61. The Iowa County deputies conducted a traffic stop near mile marker 47. As a result of the investigation, Anthony T. Orslowski, age 37, of Cascade, Iowa, was arrested for operating while under the influence. Orslowski was transported to the Iowa County Jail and booked on the charge. In the evening at 7:21, the Iowa County Communications Center received a call regarding a fire alarm at the Dodgeville High School. The Dodgeville Fire Department and Dodgeville EMS responded to the scene. No fire was found. No injuries were reported. On Saturday at 3:01, the Iowa County Sheriff's deputies responded to the Iowa County Law Enforcement Center lobby for an individual turning themselves in on an Iowa County warrant. Laura Moen, age 50, of Highland, was taken into custody on the warrant. Moen was transported to the Iowa County Jail, where she was booked on the warrant. Then on Friday at 11:53 a.m., the Iowa County Communications Center received a report of a single vehicle crash near the intersection of State Road 39 and Moscow Road in the town of Moscow. Blanchardville Fire Department, Blanchardville EMS, Greene County Deputy, and Iowa County Sheriff's deputies responded to the scene. Bozerts assisted with the removal of the vehicle. No injuries were reported. Then at 12:35 p.m., the Iowa County Communications Center received a report of a two-vehicle crash near the 4,000 block of County Road Double D in the town of Mineral Point. Mineral Point EMS, Mineral Point Police, and Iowa County Sheriff's deputies responded to the scene. No injuries were reported. The Greater Richland Area Cancer Elimination has donated equipment valued at $8,029.70 to the Kramer Infusion Center at the Richland Hospital and Clinics, a move designed to ensure patients continue to receive high-quality care close to home. Rural hospitals often face strain from unexpected and urgent needs, making the ongoing support from community organizations like Grace and the Richland Hospital Foundation vital to the Richland Hospital and clinics. A recent increase in patients seeking treatment at the Kramer Infusion Center led to an urgent demand for additional mobile blood pressure monitors. Grace acted quickly to address this need through its generous donation. Angie Conan, director of the Richland Hospital Foundation, praised the partnership, noting that Grace's commitment to putting patients first aligns perfectly with the foundation's goals. This donation will assist the infusion center staff in providing safe, efficient care and improving the overall patient experience, reflecting Grace's longstanding dedication to enhancing cancer care for patients and families in the greater Richland area. The Richland Hospital and Clinics expressed sincere appreciation to Grace for its continued investment in the community's health and well-being. Greater Richland Area Cancer Elimination is a community-based organization focused on supporting local cancer patients and advancing care-related resources through the Greater Richland area. Vernon County Sheriff Roy Torgerson reported that the arrest of Heather S. Ellsburn, 46 of La Crosse, on June 20th at approximately 3:30 p.m., a sheriff's deputy stopped a gray 2020 Subaru Ascent on State Highway 35 near Mallard Lane, rural Stoddard in the town of Bergen. Upon further investigation, the operator, Heather Ellsburn, was arrested and booked into the Sheriff's Office Detention Center for possession of cocaine, possession of drug paraphernalia, possession of fentanyl, and possession of methamphetamine. Ellsburn was also cited for non-criminal traffic violations. Ellsburn, who appeared in the Vernon County Circuit Court on June 22nd, was released on a $1,000 signature bond and is due back in court on July 8th at 9 a.m. Formal charges will be sought through Vernon County District Attorney Angela Palmer Fisher. A charge is merely an accusation, and the defendant is presumed innocent unless proven guilty in the court. The investigation continues by the Sheriff's Office. Tragedy in Lake Geneva. Three children drowned and six adults and one child were rescued Friday afternoon when the boat they were aboard capsized on Geneva Lake as storms rolled through southeast Wisconsin. All four children were wearing life jackets when the boat capsized. Witnesses say the weather changed rapidly, bringing 60 miles an hour winds and violent waves while many boats were on the lake shortly after noon. The Lake Geneva community took time to remember the children and their families during 4th of July observances on Sunday. Federal immigration agents detained people at two Madison laundromats. Owners of Little Big Load laundromats say five people were detained at two South Madison locations and claim a young man was injured during a detention. The arrests are part of a wider federal immigration operation that an immigrant rights group says resulted in at least 10 detentions in the Madison area. The Department of Homeland Security says ICE made 39 arrests statewide. Madison police say local officers were not involved in the operation. In response to the devastating severe storms, flooding, and tornadoes that swept across Wisconsin in April, President Donald Trump has officially approved a presidential disaster declaration. This significant move unlocks vital federal assistance for both public infrastructure and individual assistance. Impacted residents in designated counties throughout the state, including Vernon County, are now eligible to seek support as they begin the recovery process. Homeowners and renters in the affected areas can initiate their applications for federal aid through disasterassistance.gov portal or by contacting the FEMA helpline at 1-800-621-3362. For those utilizing relay services such as VRS or captioned telephone, FEMA can be provided with a relay service number to facilitate communication. While physical disaster recovery centers may be established in coordination with Wisconsin Emergency Management, specific locations and details will be shared once they are confirmed. It is important to note that residents who have already reported damage to local county authorities must still register directly with FEMA to be considered for federal help. Eligibility requirements specify that the damaged property must have been the applicant's primary residence and that the claimed losses were not already covered by insurance or other relief sources. Additionally, applicants should ensure that FEMA has accurate contact information to reach them throughout the evaluation process. When preparing an application, individuals should have several key pieces of information ready, including their social security number, annual household income, and insurance policy details. The application process also requires pre-disaster and current addresses, a general summary of the damages sustained, and banking information to facilitate direct deposits. Should a resident disagree with FEMA's eventual determination, they maintain the right to file an appeal online via mail or fax or in person at the forthcoming disaster recovery centers. The Wisconsin Department of Justice has joined a coalition of 24 states and jurisdictions in filing a formal comment letter opposing the U.S. Postal Service's proposed rule that would restrict mail-in voting. The coalition argues that the Postal Service lacks the authority to act as a gatekeeper for mail-in ballots, a move they contend would interfere with the administration of elections and USURP state-level control. The action follows a recent executive order from the president that attempted to create a national voter list, which was subsequently struck down by a federal judge. Despite this court ruling, the Postal Service has continued to pursue a rule that would create a centralized list of voter information and refuse to deliver ballots to anyone not included on it. The coalition asserts that this proposal is an unconstitutional power grab that violates both a federal court order and the constitutional principle that election procedures cannot be unilaterally changed by the executive branch without congressional approval. Implementing these changes before the 2026 election would force states to overhaul their election procedures and conduct emergency voter education on short notice. The coalition emphasizes that state and federal laws protect the rights of eligible voters to cast ballots, and recent Supreme Court decisions have reaffirmed the authority of states to administer their own elections, including mail-in voting. The Richland Hospital and Clinics is once again making it easier and more affordable for families to prepare for upcoming school sports seasons by offering sports physicals for just $15 throughout July and August. These discounted exams are available at the Richland Hospital Clinic, Muscadet Health Clinic, and Spring Green Medical Center, helping to ensure student athletes meet WIAA participation requirements while keeping costs accessible. Melissa Wirtz of the Richland Hospitals and Clinics noted that the goal of these reduced rate physicals is to remove financial barriers, allowing every student the opportunity to participate in school athletics and activities. In addition to fulfilling eligibility requirements, these physicals provide a valuable opportunity to identify potential health concerns before the season starts, demonstrating the hospital's ongoing commitment to the health and success of area families. Dr. Brian Kroll, a family physician with the Richland Hospital and Clinics, who also serves as an assistant football coach, encourages students to use the summer months to prepare for their upcoming season. Dr. Kroll emphasizes the importance of staying hydrated, resting, and recovering properly to ensure a healthy and successful season. Appointments for sports physicals can be scheduled by calling 608-647-6161. Necessary physical forms can be obtained from local school districts or downloaded directly from WIAAWI.org. Also, for sports physicals to help the families start with the summer with ease, Amplify Health by Gunderson is offering sports physicals, and they're going to be having a physical on Wednesday from 9 to 3 at the Ithaca School District. The WIAA sports physical can be billed through insurance or offer a $25 pay option. In-clinic sport physicals are also offered and can be scheduled by calling 608-375-4144. The River Valley School District Policy Committee has scheduled a meeting for tonight at 5 to address a series of policy updates and governance matters. The session will be held at the Intermediate School Library in the Village of Spring Green, and the agenda begins with the administrative tasks, including the election of a chairperson and the approval of minutes from the June 1st meeting. The committee will then proceed to a second reading of several policies covering topics such as library media centers, the reporting of child abuse and neglect, personal involvement in legal matters, and the access to public records. Additionally, members will review food service policies updated following recent audit, which include regulations on free and reduced price meals, automated programs, and collection procedures for non-payment. A significant focus of the meeting will be policy revisions mandated by 2025 Wisconsin Act 89. These changes address communication standards between staff and students, defining appropriate content and consequences for behavior outside of school hours. The affected policies include codes of conduct for employees and elected officials, staff-student relationships, and guidelines for school volunteers, athletic coaches, and activity advisors. The committee will also conduct a first reading of policies regarding student mental health services and suicide prevention, concluding the meeting with a discussion on the district's strategic plan and its alignment with the committee's work. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources has issued a new general permit identified as WI-0012345-0 to regulate PFAS monitoring in sewage sludge, also known as biosolids. This action complies with the 2025 Act 201, which mandates that DNR requires PFAS monitoring for sewage sludge generators via the Wisconsin Pollution Discharge Elimination System. The new general permit applies to all sewage sludge generators with valid individual WPDES permits that do not currently have specific conditions regarding PFAS substances. In addition to the permit, the Bureau of Water Quality has updated its interim strategy for land application of biosolids and industrial sludges containing PFAS to better protect public health and the environment. The strategy aims to help facilities identify and reduce PFAS concentrations in biosolids. To assist with these efforts, the DNR plans to launch a new grant program in the summer or fall of 2026. This program will support sampling for PFAS at wastewater treatment facilities as well as private wells, schools, and child care facilities. PFAS has human-made chemicals known to persist in the environment and accumulate in the human body, posing risks such as liver damage, certain cancers, and decreased fertility. New polling data highlights a strong consensus among Wisconsin voters regarding election administration. According to a survey commissioned by the Democracy Defense Project, 79% of voters spanning Republicans, Democrats, and Independents support the implementation of statewide regulations for ballot drop boxes. This broad bipartisan agreement suggests a public mandate for greater consistency in election procedures. Ken Cuccinelli, National Chairman for Election Transparency Initiative, emphasized that election integrity should transcend bipartisan divisions. He argued that when nearly 8 in 10 voters support uniforms ruled, it is incumbent upon lawmakers to prioritize these standards. ETI contends that regardless of whether drop boxes are maintained, limited, or expanded, they should operate under a unified, transparent policy that prevents the inconsistent application of rules across different jurisdictions. The push for uniformity echoes the principles discussed in legal precedents like Bush versus Gore, which emphasized that voters in the same state should not be subjected to disparate standards based on their location. While the Wisconsin Supreme Court affirmed the legality of ballot drop boxes in 2024, the ETI maintains that the next logical step is to ensure clarity and public confidence by establishing a singular statewide regulatory framework. Ultimately, the organization suggests that these measures are essential to fostering trust in election outcomes and ensuring the election procedures remain accessible, secure, and clearly defined for all citizens. And the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is engaging the public through several strategic initiatives and seasonal updates. A primary focus is the call for public comment on the Wisconsin State Park System's strategic plan update. This 10-year strategy aims to analyze existing conditions across 126 unique properties to identify future opportunities and resolve potential issues. Residents are encouraged to complete an online survey by August 4th and to assist in shaping the direction of the state's recreational lands. In recognition of environmental stewardship, the Wisconsin Invasive Species Council recently announced the winners of the 2026 Invasive Species Action Awards. These awards honor both professional and volunteers, such as Matthew Puz for his work on management and the Green Bay Conservation Corps for their extensive invasive species treatment efforts. These awards underscore the critical role of community and professional involvement in protecting Wisconsin's diverse ecosystems during Invasive Species Action Month. And the iconic clock tower at the Lincoln County Courthouse in Merrill is undergoing major restoration. The courthouse, built between 1899 and 1903, remains one of Merrill's most recognizable landmarks and continues to serve as the county's courthouse today. Construction was delayed by nationwide labor strikes, and the project ultimately cost nearly $120,000, roughly $4 million in today's dollars. The historic clock tower has undergone several repairs over the years, but a recent $99,000 grant from the Bierman Family Foundation will fund the latest restoration after the clock stopped working. Because the mechanism is one of a kind, it must be carefully dismantled and repaired piece by piece. The project is expected to take about 8 months. And recent winners in the Muscadet Avoca Blue River Lions Club 2026 calendar raffle drawings are: on Thursday, $250 winners. The first winner was Eric Johnson of Muscadet on ticket number 0767 and Becky Deckard of Richland Center on ticket 0528. On Friday, winners were of $50, Paul Burris of Muscadet on ticket number 0368 and Deb Cup of Blue River on ticket number 0088. On Saturday, a $500 winner was drawn, and that was Matthew Welsh of Muscadet on ticket number 0391. And then yesterday, there were two $200 winners. They were Ginny Moore of Muscadet on ticket number 0934 and Tom Everson of Soldiers Grove on ticket number 0374.